News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on Mobile Mornings. And we'll get to breezy conditions now. It's going to be get a little wild tonight with some showers, and some of the thunderstorms could be severe after midnight.
Yeah, we might get some winds up to 50. Maybe, I think Dr. Bill said possibly 60 miles an hour, so that'll be coming overnight. But as this system moves through Mississippi and then into our area later today, we will feel the wind pick up even more. So we do have some rain on the way. The good news is it's possibly the last rain of the month, and we're setting up for a beautiful Easter weekend down here on the Gulf Coast.
It'll be gorgeous. 78 and sunny, looks like, on Easter itself. Dr. Lonnie Burnett, my friend, he's the president of the University of Mobile as well, and we've shared a lot of good times together. Lonnie, how are you, my man?
Doing great, guys. I was thinking a while ago, we have talked many times over the last few years. You guys have always been good to the university, and I do appreciate you, too, certainly.
Hey, I got to tell you, that opportunity to share a stage with Johnny Musso, that was just so much fun, and I think the audience got a lot out of it.
We talked about that last week, actually. That was a very good day for us. It certainly was, Dan.
Lonnie, let's talk about the banquet coming up. It's the 17th annual leadership banquet. You've had some incredible speakers at this banquet through the years.
We certainly have. I mean, ranging from Condoleezza Rice to George Bush to Tim Tebow to Archie Manning. But this year we've got Mike Pompeo. And this is not going to be a political talk. It's about faith and leadership. But this guy's got an amazing resume, from graduating first in his class to West Point to, you know, private business to four terms in Congress to the CIA director to Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing resume, but also a man of faith. A lot of work in his church, a lot of work with youth groups. I've never seen a guy with such an impressive resume, I don't believe.
When you spell it all out, and I've been talking about it time and time again, talking about the banquet coming up on here on Mobile Mornings, but when you think about it, what a resume.
It's crazy, and we're talking about a leadership banquet, so who'd they go out and get? The former director of the CIA. And his Secretary of State.
Yes.
That's, I bet Pompeo has all kinds of incredible stories, and for him to wrap his faith into that and to describe why he did some of the actions he did over the years, I imagine that would be absolutely fascinating. I mean, it says here he was first in his class at West Point when he graduated there. So a winner all the way through.
And, guys, I've got to believe, you know, and thinking ahead to 2028, this guy's got to be a candidate for president, I'm guessing, in 2028. That's a long time from now, certainly, but I just imagine he'll be kind of a front-runner candidate by that time for president.
I can imagine that on the GOP side, obviously. So if you want to get tickets, there's a number of ways to go about it. You want to tell them, Lonnie?
Yes, I would do it quickly. There's a few tables left, a few individual tickets. Go to our website, umobile.edu. And just put /banquet. It'll take you to all the information. You can sign up right there online, umobile.edu/banquet. But do it quick, because it's a week from Saturday night, and it'll sell out pretty quick, I think.
I don't remember this being on Saturdays before. I remember being Thursdays or midweek or something like that. So this is a great opportunity to get out and meet somebody who is known internationally.
Yeah, so what can folks expect, Dr. Burnett, if they come out there? Obviously, they want to see Pompeo and his speech, but there's going to be a lot of people out there to see Pompeo and probably some great people to meet along the way.
Yes, actually, I mean, he'll be interviewed by General Paul Hankins from the State Association of Independent Colleges. He himself has an impressive career, but it'll be, always a good meal, a good time to talk. But again, it'll be a leadership and faith talk. But Dan, just for you, we're going to throw in the Voices of Mobile to do a few numbers also. One of our great ensembles, so they'll be entertained. It'll be just a good, fun night, as always.
Yeah, it really, anything that the University of Mobile does in terms of these leadership banquets, and certainly if you're going to involve the School of the Arts, it's going to be entertaining as well. VIP, are any of those still available, Lonnie?
Yes, on table sponsorships, yes. And again, that website has all those details for different levels. And there are chances to meet Pompeo, so he'll sign some books, obviously, also. But the website tells about all those opportunities.
Excellent.
Dr. Burnett, let's talk a little bit about the school year. I know it's easy to lose sight with all the great events you guys have that you still have some incredible teachers and students there on campus. How's this school year gone? And I've been following, of course, the athletics fairly closely and had a good little run in basketball. That season's come to a close, and the spring sports are going full bore. But how have things gone this year? Yeah.
It's been a very good year, very quick year. Man, I announced my retirement back in August, 10 months ago. It has flown by very quickly. But, yeah, our sports teams have been great at the, of course, the music programs. I was thinking about our nurse anesthesia program a while ago. We started this thing 3 years ago. The first grads will walk this May in a few weeks. We're very proud of that. Wow. That thing has just taken off. And just for an example, the first class 3 years ago, there were 68 applications. The class for this fall has 412 applications, so it's really been a popular program, nationwide interest in this program. So it's just been a very good year for us. Very quick year, but a very good year.
I was out there that day when the announcement was made, and it was big news then, but all those applications, that is really impressive.
Yes.
Let's talk about also, as far as the school year goes, enrollment is fine, right? You guys are right about just under 2,000, and things are looking up as far as that goes?
Yes, we had a very good freshman class. Again, a first-time class. The last 2 years have been actually record-breaking classes for us, so that's been a good thing. I mean, going forward, of course, we're recruiting hot and heavy now for the fall 24th semester, but the last, since COVID, we've bounced back very strong since COVID. That's been kind of in the rear view now for 2 or 3 years, but we've bounced back very strong, and I've been very encouraged by that.
And also the big announcement, this is your swan song, but for that to be the case, they've got to name a new president incoming, and they have, and he's originally from Alabama.
Yes, we announced, this was a nationwide search. It went back to October, the search did, and we announced on Thursday Dr. Charles Smith. He's from Montgomery, so is his wife. He's coming to us via Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. But I had a chance to meet a few times with Charles and had a meal and have talked several times since the selection was made. I think a tremendous fit for our university, a younger person, much younger than you and I, Dan, a younger person than, of course, most folks, Dan, most folks are younger than you and I. But I think he'll be a tremendous fit. I'm looking forward to that. But I do think there's great days ahead for us. He'll start May the 6th here at the university. And I do think it's going to be a good fit for us.
I got to get up there and meet him.
Yeah, exciting times on the horizon. Tim texted in. He said, always a good time at the University of Mobile Leadership Banquet. We always reserve a table. George Bush came 1 year, and you mentioned that. You have had some great speakers over the years. So, again, for folks who are interested, very easy to find out more, umobile.edu/banquet, and that'll get you to where you need to go.
All right.
Absolutely.
Dr. Burnett, our pleasure having you on these years that you have been at the helm, and appreciate you very much for always being able to communicate with us, and I'll get up there and see you soon, okay?
Please do. Always good to talk to you guys. You know that.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Lonnie Burnett, University of Mobile Leadership Banquet on the way. That is April 6th, so it's coming before you know it. Like you said, if you want to get tickets, better hop on it now. That will be a great guest. Pompeo, I mean.
It finally hit me. Like, look at this resume.
Yeah.
What has this guy not done? Mm-hmm. And then when you go back to West Point, he was first in his class there. You could see the leadership in him emerging even as a young man.
I don't want to freak you out even further regarding this solar eclipse that we have on the way. But Philip texted in and said April 8th, which is, as we noted, when the solar eclipse will move over the United States. April 8th is also when the Devil's Comet will be in the sky. According to Philip.
Okay, what's the Devil's
comet? It's a comet they've named the Devil's Comet. I'm not sure why they named it that, but I think if I read correctly, it's like it's the closest that a big comet will have come to the United States in some time. Mm. And I think you can already see it at night. I might be wrong on that.
Wow.
With binoculars or with a telescope. But I think April 8th during the solar eclipse is when they're saying you'll get a real good look at it.
All right, so the solar eclipse, it's been a while, okay, since we've had one around here.
I thought we had something just a few months ago. There was some kind. I always get my eclipses confused with, what else? I don't know. It feels like there have been more solar eclipses over the last couple of years than usual.
So people who are going to observe it, I forget what the protocol is. What do you do?
Well, you got to get...
You like put a hand over one eye? What do you do?
You got to get the eclipse glasses, right?
That's what I'm thinking.
These companies that just show up like firework trucks just before July 4th.
Yeah.
You go find an eclipse glasses truck somewhere.
Hey. Here's the thing. How do we trust...
That they're legit?
Flimsy guy rolling into town with these eclipse glasses.
Yeah.
And I'm putting all my trust in him. Are they like paper and like...
Generally, yeah. You don't need like
plastic.
You don't need sturdy sunglass frames for something that only happens, you know, once every few hundred years.
Well, maybe you don't. I would like to be assured a little bit more that everything's going to go A-OK.
Yeah. You need verified eclipse glasses is what you're saying.
I mean, I think all of us do.
Yeah. Well, I think we still have some just kind of hanging around here because there was a big solar eclipse, I want to say 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
People made a big to-do about that. And then there have been, I think, two more in the last year or year and a half. So those have come in handy time and time again. Actually, the last time there was an eclipse, we were getting some carpeting done in here. So Sean and I were here on a Saturday with the crew putting the carpet in. And then they were the ones who raised the eclipse. They're like, hey, shouldn't we be outside looking at the eclipse right now? And we all went out and shared one pair of eclipse glasses.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's exactly how it went down.
Okay. The eclipse is the 8th of April, and I continue to do diligent research on how this thing is going to possibly damage me physically. and I'm at the stage of life I don't need anything like that. Well, there's already stuff is breaking down on its own.
This started with me basically making fun of schools for not letting kids come to school that day.
Yeah.
Because they can't watch them long enough to make sure they don't stare at the eclipse sun.
Because they'd be something about they're going to be on the bus at that time, which I don't know.
But now you're freaking out about it for your own eye health, and you're looking up animal by animal how they will react during the eclipse.
And there was this one story from National Geographic about how cows flip out, and then it kept wanting me to subscribe.
Subscribe.
I can't get the real story. And now I will be nowhere near a cow, I can tell you that. 18 after 8, FM Talk 106.5 with Dana Dalton. Good morning. Dalton continuing to find downright frightening things about the coming eclipse. we're at 79% where places like Dallas and Hot Springs, Arkansas, they're going to get the full Monty, right?
I mean, they're already living it in Hot Springs. But, yeah, they will be in the path of totality, which sounds like an Avengers movie.
It does.
You got Dallas, Hot Springs, Bloomington, Cleveland. That's kind of the stretch that it'll make through the United States. The path of totality. This texter says, this is Chad. He says, we don't need any lab-grown eclipse glasses. So, Chad, you just going to look straight up, President Trump style? Remember when he looked directly into the – that was a top five moment of a very entertaining presidency. That was definitely one of the funnier moments.
I do remember that now. He didn't care.
Fire Dog said, welder's helmets work as well as the cheap glasses, so if Dan needs an extra bit of protection, you can go put on a welder helmet.
What's it going to affect my hairline? What's going on? It's going to burn my head up?
Brian says, my chickens go to roost early during an eclipse. I don't think that's a metaphor. I think his chickens roost early when there's an eclipse going on. And then Randy says, oh no, Dan, two cow calves were just moved into the field by me. They are already spirited and constantly moo at me. Now you say they're going to eclipse flip out. He said, I'm coming to stay with you until this is all over.
All right, here's what I know about the cows. And got to give it up to National Geo, because what they did was they said, the headline was something about how the eclipse affects animals. You won't believe it or something like that. Yeah. So I click it, and then this
paywall.
Pick me a picture of a cow, like just like he's looking right at you. It's kind of a scary cow.
Yeah.
Everything is scary in this context, I guess, just to me. And then it was suddenly, you know, you had to subscribe. I'm like, well, what a tease that was.
You got hit with the paywall.
I'm talking about my physical and mental health here, and they're dancing around wanting me to give them $12 a month.
Yeah, well, that's
no fair.
Nat Geo, you know, they make their money through fear. A constantly scared population is a good thing for Nat Geo, I'd
got
say.
It.
Jason says, good morning, guys. Seems strange to me that Judge Engoron And Letitia James claimed to want to give the taxpayers back their money and are clearly against capitalism. I guarantee you neither of them have problems taking their salaries from the taxpayer while giving nothing in return. Like Trump has said, it's election interference. Yeah, and that story came and went quickly about Letitia James, the AG up there, and how so much of her campaign money that came in for her running for AG, right?
Yep. Remember,
she promised that she was going to take care of Trump, that she was going to go after him. Well, a lot of that campaign money is untraceable from where it came from. And then she, just like we talked so much about Fannie Willis, has been spending a ton of her campaign money in James' situation on, you know, very expensive hotel trips, yep, weekend getaways. And that story came and left the news cycle very quickly, how much money she's using that's campaign money for her own fun. But looking at this...
You're right. Where's that story? Where's the follow-up?
Looking at this ruling, and see, I know that I have this story from CNN. Here's what happens if Trump can't get a $464 million bond. Remember, that deadline is supposedly today.
Yep.
And I played that audio last week of CNN after the... after they ruled that Trump had to go ahead and pay that bond, even as he appeals the case, we had audio from CNN where they were talking about, just sell Mar-a-Lago. It's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. CNN was saying that without a hint of irony, when that entire ruling, a big portion of it was based on Trump allegedly overvaluing his assets, including Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
And Ingron said, well, Mar-a-Lago is not worth more than $18 million.
Which is...
it's absolutely insane. But yeah, then you have CNN agreeing with that premise. And then after the ruling, they completely changed their tune. Oh, just sell Mar-a-Lago. That's got to be worth a cool $220 million.
Isn't the actual value on Mar-a-Lago somewhere around over $200
million? On CNN, they ran a graphic that said estimated... valuation, and I think it said around $200 or $220 million mm-hmm. for Mar-a-Lago alone. Now, I guess people think that James will just be able to walk over to Trump Tower and slap a sign on it that says that he's been evicted and just take immediate control of Trump Tower. But Jonathan Turley, who you've probably seen on Fox News, and I think that might have been where this came from this week. Yeah, he was on with Larry Kudlow on Fox Business, and he said, it's not going to be that easy to just seize properties.
I wouldn't think it's that easy, no.
He said these properties are partnerships. They have leveraged debt. All of that has to be unraveled. So these aren't just, you know, one-to-one Trump versus James type of equation. In order to seize that property, she's going to be pulled into court by people other than just Trump.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be challenges. It's not going to happen overnight. He said everyone is celebrating this idea that she's going to padlock Trump Tower. It's not likely to happen, and it's certainly not likely to remain very long. Turley also said the other thing is she could be harming the value of the property that she's trying to seize with some of these actions. I don't think that matters to her, but it might matter to a court. So even, you know, if they do start seizing property today, if Trump doesn't come up with that bond, which he said no sureties companies will cover,
yeah,
it's just, and they wouldn't leverage his real estate against it because it's just not worth it for them in the real estate market. But even if the state does seize some of his properties, it is their job, the government, it's their job to keep those assets above water,
right,
and to keep them making the money that they were previous to.
And the government's great at that.
Right.
The government's great at running your business.
Exactly. So if Trump does, you know, if this appeal makes it, if for some reason they decide that the judgment was too high or that there should be no judgment, the state would have to return those seized properties, and I think they would owe him, you know, interest on for however
the time
long
they had it.
Yeah. So there would be a lot more money switching hands going the other way. But according to Turley and some of these other law experts, for the Letitia Jameses out there who think they're just going to take the tower and call it a day, that's not going to be what happens.
$454 million due sometime today. Seems like an insane number.
Yeah.
Insane. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings, and a little break here with the news.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive. talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fine, and we're coming up already on the end of the month of March. And as we've talked about before, end of the month, a great time to get a great deal at McConnell Automotive.
That's right. We're trying to hit our numbers, and we're trying to we're just about giving them away, man. We got $8,000 off on those remaining 23 pickup trucks. We got a just a couple of those. I'm sitting here looking at them. We got great selection of GM certifieds. We got Fords. We got Dodges pickup trucks. We got 3/4 and 1/2 tons. You can check everything out we have online at McConnellAutomotive.com. If you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
All right. It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
This story is crazy. Two Texas boys around Houston,
mm-hmm.
taken into custody Saturday following a stabbing of a woman. Now, and I saw a video of the two kids. Somebody's security camera just happened to be pointed in this direction as they hopped on their bikes and left the scene.
Yeah.
What you didn't know is they were leaving after a stabbing.
Really?
Of a 59-year-old woman. Evidently, there was some sort of a verbal back and forth between the boy, 7 and 12.
Wow.
And the woman. And then the sheriff's office said that from what they've gathered, it was a verbal altercation. The female appeared to, then when they got there, I guess she called police. The female appeared to have several stab wounds to her abdomen, and she was transported to a nearby hospital. I'm looking for the follow-up. At this point, she was in critical condition.
Oh.
And 7-year-old and 12-year-old, the 7-year-old evidently is too young to be culpable, but so the 12-year-old is facing, he was taken to the sheriff's office, I suppose, and it's under arrest.
Wow. So 7 years old is too young?
Seven is,
I guess.
See.
Wow.
Yeah. Let me see what the
7 and 12 in that one. And you said it was near Houston that happened?
Harris County, which is where Houston is.
So that's in addition to, and I had a separate story here about the little rascals who robbed a bank in Houston.
Yeah.
You see that?
Same place.
Yeah.
Basically.
11-year-old, 12-year-old, and 16-year-old. Those three were charged with robbery by threat, and they started calling them the Little Rascals because they actually got away for some time after they robbed the bank. Mike Schneider, a retired juvenile district court judge, said the age of the younger two, that's unusual for a bank robbery. It's one of the first times I've seen that. So he's saying it's not rare that a 16-year-old tries to rob a bank. But for an 11-year-old and a 12-year-old, too, that is rare. According to Houston County Sheriff's Office, I guess, is it Houston County or I don't know. But,
Harris County.
Yeah. The boys passed a threatening note to a teller. They were believed to be armed, though they did not present a weapon, and they got away with an undisclosed amount of cash. Then they released the photos, started getting tips from the public, and parents of two of the boys came forward and identified them. So their own parents. The third boy was handled by a law enforcement agency after a fight. And they recognized him there from the photos from the bank.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that story was late last week and now this weekend. And again, it was just kind of, you know, you see two kids hop on bicycles and pedal away. You don't think much of it. But then when you put it in the context of they just left stabbing a woman, or one of them did anyway, it's unreal.
Yeah. And it seems to be, I mean, we've obviously seen our share of youth violence over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Houston sounds like it's on another level right now.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Doctor texts in and says, the Democrats deny election interference when a bond required for appeal has never been sold in the dollar amount required ever. Never. New territory for the bonding agent business. And
that's what I was thinking. Like, is this a record?
Oh, yeah.
Bond?
Larry in Atmore says, I thought Trump had until midnight tonight to pay. I think he does have until midnight tonight. But Letitia James, she's ready to seize whatever assets she can, or at least she's acting like she's ready to do so. And yeah, some pictures from the last eclipse, or one of the last eclipse back in 2017. Bonesaw says, I told neighbor's kid that broke my window that it's perfectly safe to stare at the eclipse. The world is just a bunch of pansies. So a little revenge from Bonesaw for the neighbor who broke his glass window there.
Well, when you visit the kid in the hospital, I hope you're able to mend fences, if not your window.
Looking at the NCAA tournament from this weekend, and so the state of Alabama sends three teams up to Spokane, and only one made it through the gauntlet, and that's Nate Oates and his Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, they've got a tough one coming up, obviously. Any game Sweet 16 on is going to be tough, but Bama facing North Carolina late Thursday night, so a very late tip-off Thursday night in the Sweet 16, and that reminds me of that Auburn run back in 2019. Remember, they had to fight through a number one-seeded North Carolina in the Sweet 16, and Auburn did just that and ended up beating Kentucky after that in the Elite Eight and making it into the Final Four, where they eventually lost to Virginia.
They lost to Virginia barely.
But I believe Auburn was a four seed that year.
Okay.
And Alabama a four seed this year. So some similarities there as Bama has to face North Carolina, and then they'd either get, looks like, Clemson or Arizona in the Elite Eight if they are to make it through the Tar Heels. But overall, for the SEC,
Disaster.
And that's from the get-go with Kentucky losing to Oakland.
Mississippi State getting blown out by Michigan State.
South Carolina got blown out by Oregon, which Oregon, I think they were underseeded. Pretty strong team with their big man down low, Dante, and a couple other players. So I think that was a tough draw for South Carolina, but still, they got absolutely shredded. And then the most surprising to me, I was waiting in line. I listened as far as I could, but I was waiting in line outside the Pensacola Bay Center for Disney on Ice as Yale put the final dagger through Auburn's heart. That upset 13 seed Yale over Auburn, and Auburn doesn't even make it to Sunday.
So I was in Fairhope, and I was, let's see, I was returning to Mobile. I had to make a stop at a convenience store. Anyway, I'm listening to our station with the Auburn game. And it might be 8 minutes left, something like that. And I'd watched a lot of that game anyway. And it just felt like Auburn at some point was going to turn it on and off they go.
Right.
And indeed, that's what happened with 6-8 minutes to go. They got up by 10. The crowd was going crazy. The Auburn announcer saying, like, man, they're starting to really roll now.
Yeah.
Well, I never listened to it for the rest of the way back. I was like, well, that's over.
Yeah.
And when I got to Mobile, I realized Auburn had lost that game.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. I hopped out of the truck. I think they were up 10 with 8 minutes left.
Usually when the one team is much better than the other team, and they make a little push in the second half, the Yale or whatever team, they would like be deflated, and then it's over. And that's not what happened.
Well, at least listening to Andy Burcham and the Auburn call, sounded like a lot of fouls were being called on Auburn, and also at least one play where I think the Yale player was just straight up out of bounds, and they didn't call it, or at least they gave the ball to Yale when it was clear OB on them. They turned that into 2 points the other way. So I don't know, for those of you that watched the game, was it really called that poorly? Did it seem like the knives were out for Auburn? But it's a tough loss no matter how you cut it, because that was a team, I mean, we said it before, most depth in the NCAA. You lose Chad Baker Mazzara to an elbow really early on in the game.
Yeah, so what happened there was, what he did was egregious. Whether you get kicked out of the game, I don't know, but he targeted the guy.
It was to the shoulder, right?
Yeah, he popped him pretty good. But one trip earlier, the Yale guy had done something. So they must have just been
getting back
after
each other,
right? Mm-hmm. But they went as far back as one other time down court, the Yale kid did something to him. Mm-hmm. So in that context, it didn't seem real fair that he got thrown out. If you looked at it independently, you were like, that's pretty cheap shot.
Right, yeah, but we've always seen it's the reaction that gets the referee's attention. Always the first action.
Did you see the shove, or did you see
it? I saw what Mazzara got knocked out for. I didn't see the previous shove from the Yale player.
Right.
No, that went completely missing context from that.
Yeah, so stuff was going on between the two of them, and he got caught.
It's Texter. So Jason says, what about the $3.5 billion that Trump will bank from Truth Social going public? Yeah, that it looks, I mean, they gave the go-ahead for Truth Social to go public. Now, the problem with that is, and it is $3.5 billion that could be coming Trump's way, but that's 60% of the shares that he owns. He can't just pull that out, or 60% of the company is sold off. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
he
yeah,
can't
yeah.
just pull all of the $3.5 billion out, because then the company would have no legs to stand on.
Right.
And also, from what I read, it would take about 6 months for any sales of shares from Trump to be allowed to go through anyway. Mm-hmm. You can't just go public and sell immediately. So he wouldn't be getting that cash soon, but they said he might be able to borrow against it when it comes to it for this bond. But again, he's got the deadline of midnight tonight to get that bond paid.
Is there any way he's going to jail?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but that's what... That's what it's about.
I guess
right?
it'd be the possibility, yeah. If he can't secure a bond, that he would be taken to jail, but surely they wouldn't be that...
Well, they're doing this. They're going this far.
Yeah.
This seems absurd.
It does.
And so if you... You know, when does the absurdity hit its peak
mm-hmm.
and roll to an end where it's like, okay, that's... I mean, are they... I don't know if James has spoken this morning. You would think she's taking some... victory dances on CNN or somewhere, but I haven't seen that she has said anything.
Maybe they will
today.
Lock him up. I don't know what the exact
I haven't heard that
timeline on that would be.
Yeah,
but I could see them doing something like that. Maximus says Roll Tide, and by the way, Slim Jim followed by mint gum is not good. Okay. Poor decisions were made this morning, apparently, by Maximus. Stexter says, guys, if you remember, they lost that game on a bad call by the referee. Oh, yeah, are you talking about the Auburn-Virginia
yeah.
game back in 2019, Final Four?
They got hosed in that one.
I think you're right.
Yep.
Jaybird, honey bunches of Nate Oates. Yeah, they're you know, all of the you talk all season, oh, this Alabama team is underperforming. Oh, they've got a great offense, but they can't stop anyone on defense. It really doesn't matter, does it? Once you get past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, if you're still alive, that's a successful season.
Yeah, if you get to the Sweet 16, that's an accomplishment.
So,
that means you've won two games and against usually pretty good teams.
And for Auburn to go on the run they did at the end of the year and win the SEC championship going away, the season looks like a lot less of a success because they were bounced by Yale so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's
tale of two different teams there with Alabama moving on to the Sweet 16. They don't. I don't think they're a better team than Auburn, but they're still alive.
Yeah, and so as an Auburn fan base, you look at Bruce Pearl and Auburn basketball, it seems to be in a good place, and it seems to be moving in the right direction. But you have a loss like that, and it fouls everything up. It's like we want to feel good about the direction of this team, but we certainly were expecting to beat Yale.
And then you have the bitterness every year of when you do have a good team and they underperform, that you're not getting that team back.
Right.
A lot of those players are going to move on, and you start from scratch or just with a few of the guys who played well going into the end of the year.
That's another good point. How do you actually build momentum as a basketball program in this day and time? It's tough.
It is. And then I saw people questioning whether Bruce Pearl should still be Bruce Pearl of Auburn. Like maybe it's time to move on, which I think is some of the most ridiculous commentary to come from all
but
that.
But just the fact that somebody somewhere is saying that just tells you that so there's the dissatisfaction when you not get bounced out of the tournament, mm-hmm. but that early and against a team like Yale.
Michael says, with the Auburn game, the phrase ball don't lie applies. The same cheap shot artist from Auburn is who did the cheap shot that took out Florida's 7-footer. Okay, I remember that in the SEC tournament. When that player went down.
Did he undercut him?
I can't remember, honestly.
That was a gruesome injury.
I don't remember it being a cheap shot.
Okay.
Outscored 20-8 in the last 7 minutes, 6 turnovers, sloppy play. Mr. Plott says, please put Trump in jail. Please put Trump in jail. I think he says that would get him elected so quick, it would be pathetic. That's exactly what some of these Democrat political operatives are saying as well. Like, they're telling Letitia James, hey,
watch what you're asking for.
You
here,
seize
right?
those assets, or if you throw them in jail, you're giving them an easy win on the campaign trail.
I think a lot of people in the middle are seeing this for exactly what it is, and it's weaponizing these institutions we used to have faith in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not good for anybody. 8:49, Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Kane. 8:53 here on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And I want to invite you, that's right, you, to the second annual Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. And we did this last year. Same place. They're holding it at the Bicentennial Park in Stockton. And It's coming up next Saturday, so April 6th, and this is an all-day thing, and there's plenty to do to keep you around. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., so whether you're an early morning person, you want to get out and get stuff done in the afternoon, or vice versa, get everything done in the morning and come by and see us next Saturday afternoon. Either way works. 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo at Bicentennial Park in Stockton. We had a great time last year at this event, and more good times on the way. Looks like they're bringing back world champion turkey callers Kenny Weiss Sr. and Junior.
I enjoyed that little show there. They were good. That was I got up there for I guess afternoon and enjoyed some of that day with you.
Yeah, very cool. Their demo that they do for everyone, and they even get you up there and you can do some turkey calling as well. And our guy Captain Bobby Abrascato had a great demo as well, as he brings up a lot of his rods and reels and bait, and shows you how to time on, and pretty much any questions you have about fishing, Captain Bobby Abrascato takes the time. He'll stay there and talk with you and answer some of those questions. That's just a taste of what they've got going on at the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo. It's coming up next Saturday, April 6th at Bicentennial Park in Stockton, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can find out more at northbaldwinchamber.com or go to Facebook and look for the Discover North Baldwin Outdoor Expo.
Jeff Poor Show straight ahead, beginning a little after 9 o'clock, of course. You got State Representative Shane Stringer will be part of that show. We'll begin around 9:35. WVNN's Dale Jackson, as the two yell at each other for about 20 minutes. He comes on at 10:35. And Heritage Foundation's Emma Waters is live with Jeff about 11:35 today. So good guest list again by Jeff Poor.
All right. Looking forward to that. Also, you know, this is less about the actual basketball that's being played, and more about an article that's coming out. Kim Mulkey, the often-discussed head coach of LSU women's basketball. Now, they've moved in again to the Sweet 16. They've got a good team in Baton Rouge like they seem to every year under Mulkey. But word started coming out Friday, and it was from Pat Forty on X, the Sports Illustrated writer. He said that there's an article coming out about Mulkey in the Washington Post.
But it's not going to be good.
And it doesn't look like it's a good article. Now, there's a whole lot of discussion about what might be in the article. And The Athletic said Mulkey has come under fire in the past for reportedly encouraging former players to keep quiet about their sexuality. You could see how that might be an issue in a lot of the women's basketball locker rooms.
It could.
And they've kind of been, it seems like knives have been out for Mulkey for the last few years.
She's polarized.
She's a loud person. She dresses loud.
Yeah, she dresses like Liberace's half-sister. And then, she is polarizing. And she won her own title way back in like 1980. The Louisiana Tech used to have a great women's program.
Yeah.
And you could look at the highlights of her playing point guard back then, and it looked like the girls' basketball that we would see out on the elementary playgrounds, you know, not really highly skilled like you see today.
Yeah.
She won titles, but those teams were limited, but they were good at the time.
So, and you called what they do today highly skilled, which I think is an interesting comment.
Well, compared to.
Yeah, compared to
back
then.
If you look at the film from 1981.
They've gotten a lot better.
Yes.
So she comes out after they win this weekend, and she said, "I wouldn't normally discuss media rumors about me, but I felt the need to publicly address what exactly this reporter for the Washington Post has been doing the past several years and the lengths he has gone to try and put a hit piece together. Reporter's been working on a story about me for 2 years. After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacted LSU Tuesday as we were getting ready for the tournament with more than a dozen questions demanding a response by Thursday right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me?" So she goes off on this reporter, says he's been working on this story for a couple years, and it's expected to drop soon. No telling what they're going to have in that story on the Washington
Post. Well, now I may flip-flop on her because I've not been the biggest Mulkey fan, but you know, if anybody that's going to get Washington Post, you know, they've been
the Washington Post treatment
for 3 years, devising this storyline, whatever they're trying to get her on, or you know, we'll see if the treatment is fair, which my guess would not, and also do her values line up with the current values of today. Even if, can we identify where the current values are of today? And those of the Washington Post would be pretty far to the left.
Yeah, and it'll probably be Brittany Griner related, I imagine. She was her coach at Baylor, too, yep. I think. So there's that. And then
She was Brittany Griner's coach.
And then I wanted to bring this up. And it makes more sense now that we went to Pensacola for Disney on Ice Friday and got a couple snow cones.
Yeah, $21 each.
It was like $46 total for two snow cones.
Mm-hmm.
We were paying for the cup that it came with.
Yeah.
But Wall Street Journal with an article this weekend that Pensacola is the new Miami.
Huh?
Rich people are moving to Pensacola. They said the number of homes sold for more than $1 million in Pensacola has soared 220% since 2019.
Really?
Big money coming down to Florida that maybe Miami's too packed. Apparently they're moving into Pensacola, and that's why they're able to raise snow cone prices through the roof.
Pensacola's nice now. 858 FM Talk 106.5.